We all know that I occasionally give messages that are a little stronger or a little unusual. Today is one of those times. So I want to start with, everything that I say, I want you to take back, to be like the Bereans. In Acts 17, verse 11, we're told that the Bereans had a more noble nature because they listened with enthusiasm, but they took everything that was said back to Scripture to verify its truth. And I ask you to do that. Everything that I say, don't believe it because I said it. Take it back and compare it to Scripture and make your own decisions. When I get up here and I have the opportunity, the blessing to offer a message, I take it very seriously. If you'll turn with me to Ezekiel, chapter 33, it says, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the sons of your people, and say to them, If I bring a sword upon the land, and the people of the land take one man from among them, and make him their watchman, and he sees the sword coming upon the land, and blows on the trumpet, and warns the people, then he who hears the sound of the trumpet, and does not take warning, and a sword comes and takes him away, his blood will be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood will be on himself. But had he taken warning, he would have delivered his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and a sword comes and takes a person from them, he is taken away in his inequity, but his blood I will require from the watchman's head." When I have an opportunity to stand up here and address you, I consider myself to be the watchman on the wall. And I take it very seriously that if I see things that trouble me, to try and share those with you. That's what I'm doing today. Today's message is actually a story of another person. His name is Afshin. Afshin was born in Houston, Texas. And as you might guess from the name, he was born the son of a wealthy Iranian physician of the Muslim faith. At the age of two, his father took the family back to Iran. And then 4 years later came the fall of the Shah. Well, fortunately, because his father was a physician, he had the wherewithal to be able to bring his family back to the United States and back to Texas. So Afshin grew up in Houston as a Muslim from Iran in the late 70s. Now, those of you who remember that time remember that that was also the time of the Iranian hostage crisis. So life for an Iranian wasn't real pleasant at that time. Afshin and his younger brother were constantly accosted by older boys. They were shot at with BB guns, and at times they feared for their lives. Afshin's parents hired a tutor to teach him English and to help him try and fit in better. And his tutor was a Christian woman. Well, Afshin's parents didn't know she was Christian, but after a couple years of tutoring, when Afshin was in second grade, she told him that, "I've read to you from many books, but now I'm going to give you a gift of the most important book that you'll ever receive." And she gave him a copy of the New Testament. Afshin was a Muslim. He had no desire to have a Bible, but he did respect his tutor. So rather than throwing it away, he just threw it in a drawer and forgot about it. So Afshin continued to grow, and as a senior in high school, he was playing basketball one day, and he missed a shot. And he took the Lord's name in vain. And one of the other students that was there confronted him and said, "That name, Jesus Christ, that you just used is my God." And actually, he's like, no, Jesus Christ isn't a god. He's a prophet, like Muhammad. He's just another prophet. And the other boy said, no, Jesus Christ is the Son of God and my living God, and he's my God. So Afshin was confused because in the Muslim faith, they're taught that Jesus Christ was just another prophet. Well, that night he got home, and he was watching television. And there was a documentary on TV. It wasn't necessarily a Christian documentary. It was just like National Geographic, and it was about the life of Jesus Christ. And in the documentary, they said that some people worship Jesus as the Son of God, and those people are called Christians. So Afshin wanted more information, and he remembered the gift that he had received when in second grade. So he went upstairs and started digging, and lo and behold, he found the Bible where he had tossed it. And he opened to the book of Matthew and started to read. Well, we all know that the book of Matthew begins with the genealogy. And when he saw that Jesus was descended from Abraham, it sparked his attention because the Muslims also revere Abraham. And so he really started to read. Later on at school, one of his friends asked him if he wanted to come to a crusade. And, you know, he invited him to join him to go to a crusade. Well, inviting a Muslim to a crusade has real different meaning than what we would normally consider, because the last crusades didn't work out well for the Muslims at all. His friend told him that there'd be free pizza there, so Afshin decided he'd go. That night, he heard the sermon, and during the altar call, Afshin went forward and gave his life to Jesus Christ. And like so many, he heard the stories, and he was filled with the Spirit. And they told him that he needed to believe to become a Christian, but nobody bothered to remind him that his family would still be Muslim. But Afshin realized it when he got home, and he's like, how am I going to tell my dad about this? So basically he did what many of us do. He just chose to not tell. And so he spent a year and a half hiding his face from his father. The Sabbath for Muslims is on Friday, so there was no conflict there. So on Sunday, he would hide his good clothes in the car, and he would tell his parents he was going to visit a friend, and then he'd drive to a restaurant or a gas station, and he'd change clothes, and then he'd go to church and pray that God would forgive him for lying to his dad. But finally, his father cornered him. He realized that something was going on, and he said, what's up with you? And he goes, well, what do you mean? He goes, well, something is different. What's up? And Afshin told him, he said, I'm a Christian. I've given my life to Jesus Christ. His father said, no, you're not a Christian. Sharia law, no one, if you're a Muslim, you're a Muslim for life. You're not allowed to convert to another religion. And he said, no, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and that makes me a Christian. His father told him, well, this is a Muslim house. If you want to be a Christian, you're no longer welcome in this house. Afshin thought about it, and he said, well, if I have to choose between my father or my heavenly father, I will choose my heavenly father. And he went upstairs, and as he was going upstairs, he's wondering, how could I say that to my dad? This is the person who raised me, who's guided me my entire life. How could I say those words? So he went upstairs, and once again he grabbed the Bible. And he opened it and he started to read. And the verses that he turned to were in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. These are the words he read right after he'd been disowned by his father. He was given a hard choice, and he chose correctly. In so many churches in America today, or not just churches, but, you know, the culture tells us that all we need to be saved is to believe in God. Well, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 28, we read, when Jesus came to the other side of the country, of the two men who were demon-possessed met him as they were coming out of the tombs. They were so extremely violent that no one could pass by that way. And they cried out, saying, what business do we have with each other, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time? The demons ended up being cast out of the two men into a herd of swine, and the swine ran off a cliff and drowned. But the important point here is that the demons recognized Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And they knew that a time would come when there would be a confrontation between the forces of good and evil. The demons believed that Jesus was the Son of God, but I don't think they were saved. I don't think the belief is enough. In Matthew 7, verse 13, Jesus tells us to enter the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. There are many who enter through it, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. So many of the Christian doctrines in America right now talk about Jesus Christ being one of many ways to find salvation. If that gate is so narrow, I don't think there's many ways. I think those many ways lead to the broad path. Jesus tells us he is the way, the truth, and the life. And only through him will we come to the Father. Peter was always one who acted without thinking. But in Matthew 16, verse 13, he redeems himself. Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, and he was asking his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, well, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, but still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, Jesus asked that same question of you. Who do you say he is? Is he a wise man, a great teacher, a prophet, or is he the Son of the living God who died for our sins and rose again on the third day so that we might have the opportunity to spend eternity with our Heavenly Father? You know, we know that the Great Commission is for us to go out and win disciples for Christ. It's not to win believers, it's to win disciples. The word disciple means follow. There were many who wanted to follow Jesus, in addition to the 12. In Matthew 8, 28, chapter 8, verse 21, we read of such a man. Another of the disciples said to Jesus, "Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Follow me and allow the dead to bury their own dead." This not only tells us of the necessity to cut our heavenly ties, but that those who are not followers are already dead. In Matthew 16, verse 24, we read, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in glory, in the glory of his Father, with his angels, and will then repay every man according to his deeds.'" Now don't misunderstand me. I am not saying that we win salvation with deeds. Salvation is a gift from God. But when we accept that gift, then we are born again, and all the old ties which bound us to this earth are dissolved, and we are expected to pick up our cross and follow Jesus. We've already read that if someone loves their father, mother, son, or daughter more than Christ, then they are not worthy of him. What about a computer or television? Do we ever let time spent on entertainment interfere with the time we should be spending in prayer? I know I do. I pray every day that God will help me to put my time where my heart is. We should spend at least as much time in Christ as we do in being entertained. It might be time spent in works, or helping a brother with a task, working at a shelter, or mowing the grass here at church, or helping the less fortunate in the community. It might be time spent diving into his word through reading the Bible, or watching videos like the Truth Project, or attending Bible studies. But best of all is time spent in prayer. I know when I am troubled, I like to pray with an open Bible. And I read at random. And oftentimes, it seems that God speaks back to me through his word and helps me find the answers that I'm looking for. Sometimes it might be several days before I realize what that answer was, but generally I do come around to figuring it out. The key point I'm trying to make is that we all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. But part of accepting Jesus as our Savior and Lord means that we obey the first commandment that Jesus gave to us, which is to love the Lord God above all else. God doesn't want to be one on a list of 10. God wants to be one on a list of one. When we love him first, we want to please him. We allow God to work changes in our lives, our priorities, and our feelings. We need to acknowledge him as master in our lives. I know this means sacrifice. Jesus told us that it would involve sacrifice when he told us to pick up our cross and follow him. What is the sacrifice in your life? What is the change that needs to be made in order for God to take, for you to take God first? If you can identify what is needed, if you can identify what separates you, you're well on your way to resolving it. It is not enough to believe in Jesus. If it were, then Satan and his demons would be saved. Jesus tells us to pick up our cross and follow him. That means putting Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and his Heavenly Father first and foremost in our lives. It means putting God ahead of our loved ones, our own desires, and our favorite sins. That is how we find our way through the narrow gate and are spared the suffering, saved for those who reject Jesus Christ. Paul reminds us in Romans that when that day comes and we stand before the throne of God for judgment, we will not only be found innocent because of the blood of Jesus Christ covering us, but we will be welcomed as sons of God, to share in all the blessings of heaven. With that as a prize, what matters a little sacrifice for the short time we are on this earth? But God also blesses us while we're on earth. For example, let's pick up with Afshin where we left off. Afshin moved out of his father's house and went to college. He asked one thing of God in prayer, that he have a Christian roommate to help strengthen his faith. He made no preferences on his admission papers and trusted God to fulfill his prayer. When Afshin arrived for the start of the first semester and met his roommate, he was not only a Christian, he was a Christian convert from the Muslim faith. He and Afshin had dated the same girl in high school and both carried the same picture of her in their wallets, but they had never met. Afshin did well in college and was well on his way to fulfilling his dream of going to medical school to be a doctor like his father. He and his father actually reconciled with the understanding that when he graduated from medical school, he would take over his father's practice. Afshin had met a girl and was engaged to be married, and everything was set. And he told God, "Thank you, God, but I'm good now. I got this." But God put another call on his heart. The Lord called Afshin to ministry. His fiancée told him that she would not marry a minister. His father warned him that if he did not go to medical school, he would be permanently disowned. Afshin told his father that he was going to seminary. And his father once again disowned him. And he was faced with a call to seminary with no money to pay for the tuition. His father was going to pay his full ride to medical school, but there was no money for seminary. But the church that he was attending provided him with a place to live. One of the businessmen in town heard his story and paid his tuition. He was hired as an assistant pastor in a Dallas church. Finally, he was contacted by a group who heard his story, and after confirming that he was fluent in Farsi, which is the language of Iran, they hired him to travel to a country neighboring Iran and several times a year to train pastors who travel into Iran and minister to the Christians in the underground churches. He and his father have since reconciled. His father has even come to hear him preach. Afshin continues to pray that that Christ will touch his father's heart and that his father will someday be converted. We serve an awesome God. He is faithful to us, but he expects us to be obedient to him. Allow me to end in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word given to us, that we might better know you and your plan for our lives. We ask that you would so fill our hearts with agape love that the words of our lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen.